And now, a page from the diary of Flo.
Dear diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, everyone. This is Harrison Fagan, and welcome to the Lakers Lounge. And the reason I'm here today, and I wanted to do a podcast and talk to everyone, even though my co-host Anthony is feeling a little bit under the weather. But I thought that there's a lot of stuff that's happened this past week that's really worth talking about. And it's good stuff for once. There's a lot of positivity going on right now in Lakerland. And I was sitting here and I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this after the last 3 years. I don't know how to deal with like good stories and fun stuff. It's all just been losses and bad. And, you know, like us criticizing coaches or us criticizing players or us criticizing. So like, it's just turned me into a relentless pessimist. And I was thinking, who do I know that's positive? And who can I bring in here that's going to help me get a little bit of optimism out to you guys? So I decided to bring in Chris Manning, who is one of the more optimistic people I know. He's the NBA, you probably know him better as the NBA 2K community manager and for the Lakers highlight mixes he used to make a couple years ago. And Chris, I wanted to bring you on to talk about all this stuff because I thought it was worth addressing, and it's kind of fun, and I thought it would be good to have a conversation. So how's it going?
Thanks, man. First off, thank you for having me back on. And secondly, yeah, it's a good time for I was very happy on the draft night, as I'm sure all of Los Angeles was, if you're a fan of the purple and gold.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty great draft. And one of the cool things about it was last year, you know, there was the endless debate heading into it. It was like, do they take, because we knew Karl Anthony Towns was going first. And so heading right into it this year, it's like, is it going to be, or heading into it last year, it was like, is it going to be D'Angelo Russell? Is it going to be Jahlil Okafor? Oh, they did another workout with Kristaps Porzingis. It was stressful. And it's like, you're wondering, like, are they going to make the right decision? Are they going to totally reach on a guy? Like, we have no idea who they're taking up until draft. Like, until the minute before the draft, I remember, like, even Woj was noting in an interview, he had no idea who they were going with at number two. And that guy probably got all 29 other picks of the first round. And so this year, it was kind of nice to just know, like, all right, they got, the Sixers are going with Simmons and the Lakers are going to take Ingram.
It was nice. And, you know, it's funny because I heard so many people that were analyzing the draft beyond those first two picks. It was kind of the wild, wild west, as we saw, right? It's interesting that, first of all, we got the number two pick. I mean, I was really, from day one, I was a big Ingram fan. And I'm not saying that because we drafted him. I think Ben Simmons has the potential to be a very, very good player in this league. But I wanted somebody that could shoot and make an impact right now. And I know a lot of people are talking about the fact that Ingram needs to put on more weight and stuff like that, but I like the fact that he went to college at 169. I believe he was 190, 195 ish during the draft workout for the Lakers, what, last week or 2 weeks ago. So you can see the progression that he's making in terms of he knows he has to get stronger. But I can't wait to just watch these young guys kind of come together, because something that we've never been able to talk about for the last 20 years since Kobe's really been here is taking that next step with the young guys and allowing them to gel together and allowing them to kind of run wild. And I think we're going to see that with Luke. So, yeah, it was a really interesting draft, even just beyond the Lakers pick, just seeing what the NBA teams were doing.
Yeah, I think the Lakers, I agree with you. I think they got incredibly lucky to end up with that second overall pick, and not for the cliche of like, oh, you know, they don't actually have to make the decision. They just get to get whatever guy the Sixers don't take. Not for that reason, but because of how steep of a drop off it looks like it is at number three. And totally. I think from what I've heard from people that are smarter than me and people who have watched more of him than me, I think Dragan Bender has that potential to maybe be one of the better guys in this draft and could maybe even surpass Ingram and Simmons. It's possible.
That's true.
Like the most likely outcome. Any of those guys really could. We don't know right now. But as of right now, those two at the top, Ingram and Simmons, seem like the most surefire prospects. And so the Lakers were really lucky that not only were they going to end up with one of those two guys – but that they ended up with the one that probably makes a lot more long-term sense for their roster, because you kind of mentioned the shooting. And yeah, like, he needs to put on some weight, and you hate to make more KD, like, Kevin Durant comparisons, because everybody's made them. But, like,
right.
If you look at Kevin Durant just from a body type standpoint and where he was coming into the league his rookie year with the Sonics and where he is now, he's by no means, like, ripped now. Like, he doesn't look like he's, like, juicing or something, but he there's more weight there, and it's going to kind of come, you would think, with Ingram.
Yeah, and he's 18, right? So it's like he's still so young. And the other thing I really like about Ingram is he knows what he has to do to put in the work in terms of like making himself stronger, gaining that weight. Everything I'm hearing out of this kid's mouth just gets me super excited. And then there's also, you know, if you've looked over at what D'Angelo's been doing after all the drama that unfolded at the end of the season and all the off-court stuff that was kind of, you know, casting a shadow over the development of him, he is absolutely making himself better in every single way. He's training with the right players. He's making sure that he's working on the things that he needs to work on. He's laser focused as well. So I think you're going to see a really special thing between him and Ingram over the next couple of years. And I'm really excited, as I'm sure a lot of Lakers fans are, but the draft was interesting. Another player, like you mentioned, Bender, you know, Chris Dunn, going to Minnesota was, I thought, a really big move for them. He has the potential to be a really great player in this league too. And he has an interesting background. I don't know if you heard the stories about, I think he was like 9 and his brother was 14. And they, for 3 months, they didn't want to go and live in an orphanage. So they were taking care of themselves and they were making money. He was 9 years old, challenging people to one-on-one games just to make money to, like, you know, so they can eat. And, you know, the story of like, just the perseverance of that kid. And then, you know, you saw him on draft night and he was in tears. I thought that was a really special moment. I'm really excited for the draft this year. I don't know. There was something, maybe it's just because Lakers fans are very into the draft this year. But there was something really cool about seeing, you know, all these, the future of the NBA. Maybe it's Kobe's gone, right? So it's like we're really looking into the future. But I was excited to see some of the moves that the teams chose, because like you look back at something like Porzingis last year, everybody was criticizing the Knicks and, oh, why would they pick Porzingis? Now all of a sudden Porzingis is looking pretty good down there with Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony right now in New York, right? So it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing plays out. But like you said, you know, I think the Kevin Durant comparisons are there when it comes to Ingram. The body type, the length of how long Ingram is, and the fact that he has a 7'2 wingspan, and that kind of thing is really special because he already has handles like, you know, a point guard, and he's very quick. So it's going to be an interesting kind of piece to add into what the Lakers are doing right now with Clarkson and Randall and D'Angelo. And I know that Luke Walton and what he's been able to do with a player like Draymond Green. If you don't know, Luke worked a lot with Draymond Green, who has become an exceptional player.
I believe they shot together like pretty much after every practice. I think that was the routine, was those two work together. Like even like now they do it. Draymond's really good, but that's like Luke was working with him one-on-one back when he was just kind of riding the bench.
Absolutely.
Or they thought not that when he was riding the bench, but when they didn't think he was going to be as big of a part. David Lee was still there. He was the projected starter and then he got injured, but Luke's kind of been his guy. That was like that was the guy that he took under his wing.
And I know we're going all over the place here, but going back to Luke, like, absolutely, like, there is something to be said about being with the guys and bringing the success that the Warriors had. I live up here in the Bay Area now. I'm always watching Lakers games, but I had to check out the Warriors this year on their historic year. And, you know, the one thing that I constantly noticed was how tight that group was on and off the court, how great Kerr is as not only a coach, but developing young talent. And I think Luke being there and also doing that behind the scenes is going to be really beneficial to him coming to LA and working with these young guys. Cause that's the thing we were missing with, you know, D'Antoni and Byron Scott, especially. I think a lot of fans wanted success in Kobe's last years, but the thing that really disappointed me about Byron Scott was I didn't see the consistent development in the young guys. I didn't see the confidence instilled in the young guys to help them grow and help them succeed to get to the next level. And I think Luke Walton's been around that culture. And I think that's going to be extremely beneficial because I don't think next year fans should necessarily look at the win-loss record as like a reflection of Luke Walton. It should be more about how are these guys playing? How are these guys progressing? And I even think, you know, just with like the comments from D'Angelo Russell, like he can't wait to get in there and start. And, you know, Ingram is a gym rat and we'll get into that a little bit, but the fact that Ingram is almost, there's like that level of basketball that's almost like a, it's just a complete obsession. We saw it with Kobe Bryant when he first came into the league. Well, his work ethic speaks for itself, but especially when he was young, you know, not going out, not being social, but staying back, working on the game. I mean, Ingram brought, you know, 4 state championships when he was in high school. But the best story is he skipped his high school prom to go to the gym and work on his game. Like, to me, that's what I'm really enthralled by when I think about Brandon Ingram is – he's almost like psychotic for basketball in the best sense, right? And he's young, he's hungry. That's what I want to see in a player for our future. And I think, you know, the last time we got a kid that was, you know, 17, 18 years old that came to this squad that had that kind of work ethic, it didn't turn out too bad for the Lakers.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that we get to describe someone as psychotic and that's a good thing in the same sentence, but I totally get what you mean. There's kind of that singular dedication to basketball, or at least there seems to be, and he seems to be kind of joining a young Lakers group that seems to have a lot of that in them. Like, D'Angelo Russell got criticized for his work ethic and whatever all of last year, but this summer, at the very least, he seems to be putting in the work. You see him on social media all the time working out. Jordan Clarkson, we know, is doing that all the – like, he's been doing that since he was a second-round pick, and nobody was expecting he was even going to play for the Lakers that year. And then, like, Julius Randle, we know that he puts in his work. Larry Nance Jr., Anthony Brown, we see them on, like, the Lakers' social media accounts with the trainer Tim DeFrancesco all the time just posting their Breakfast Club stuff, how they're working out in the morning. And you talked about the culture that Luke's going to bring over. And I thought one of the more memorable kind of anecdotes about that from his time in Golden State was I remember there was a story in the Wall Street Journal last year when coverage of the Warriors was kind of at its nadir. They were looking for anything to talk about. Yep. And the story was about how the locker room got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches back when the trainers had banned it because they thought it was unhealthy. And Luke had kind of, while he was the head coach, he went to bat for his guys and he got them back their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Right. And
it looks like he's going to try and kind of bring that same like togetherness and joy. And he talked about joy and fun and all this stuff in his press conference that I don't know if we heard the word fun from Byron Scott the entire time he was with the Lakers. I mean, maybe in relation to Kobe in some way, but definitely not, almost definitely not about the young guys. And so I thought that was something that was really encouraging from his press conference. And it just seems like he's going to be, like he talked about, he embraces analytics. He embraces kind of that more modern up-tempo, style of play. And he was talking about one of my favorite, I mentioned this earlier to Anthony, like earlier this week, but one of my favorite things that he mentioned from that press conference was how he wants Randle to get rebounds and just get out and run. And now the Lakers have to force teams to miss shots to be able to do that, which, you know, was a serious, serious problem for them last year. But that's the kind of stuff that I think we've all been wanting to see. We want Randle to get the rebound and run the court and try and look for guys in transition. And he's going to have to improve as a playmaker. But Ingram's a pretty decent rebounder for his size. He might get pushed around a little bit initially in the NBA. But you'd think eventually with those long arms, he's going to get there and be pretty effective on the boards. Russell is an incredibly good rebounder for a point guard. And if these guys can get some stops, I mean, it's going to be really fun to watch on offense. I don't know. I'm not projecting the playoffs or anything, but they're going to be competitive or at least fun to watch next year.
Yeah, and that's what you want, right? You want that growth. And I'm glad you brought the Randle point of view, because the other thing about Julius Randle is he has a skill set that's pretty interesting. I think he just needs to get a little bit more patient. You see a lot of the time he'll get into the paint and kind of, you know, not know how to react there. And there's a little bit of hesitation. And we saw that a lot, especially towards the second half of the season. And again, it comes back to, you know, Byron Scott probably didn't instill the confidence in these guys like he should have. Right. And we knew it was Kobe's farewell tour. So
and there wasn't a lot of movement off the ball, to be totally fair.
Totally, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it was just a unique kind of circumstance last year. And believe me, no one's more sad about Kobe leaving than I am. But at the same time, now it's like these guys are unleashed, right? And it's going to be very fun to watch because, you know, going back to the Draymond Green, Luke Walton relationship, Julius Randle has a lot of tool sets and he has a lot of skills that are similar to Draymond.
Similar body type, similar handles, that kind of thing.
I say that respectfully, you know, because you have to grow these players, but it's nice to have that kind of player, which is what people are thinking of, like the big three, the big four with the Lakers, you know, but then you kind of have Julius over here and that's going to be interesting. And I think the best part to me about this is I don't think the Lakers are trying to go all in on that big veteran free agent this year. And I think they're really focused and locked in on their youth. And I think that's going to be really special for the future of this franchise, right? Like you said it yourself, definitely not predicting the playoffs next year, but it's going to be fun to watch these guys grow. It's going to be fun to watch what Brandon Ingram could do. And I think D'Angelo, now that he knows, like, we're sticking with our guy, right? We know one thing about the Laker organization is when players mess up off the court, they stick with them, right? Respectfully. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be really fun to watch his hunger and his drive come out alongside somebody like Ingram. And then you're going to have Julius and Clarkson, you know, the rest of the young guys coming out and wanting to kind of prove that these guys can play ball too. Cause we saw flashes of it, right? They did beat the Warriors last year. One of those nine losses came to our Lakers and that game, they were pretty off the charts that game. And they were running and gunning and you could tell they were having fun. So it's going to be fun to see kind of that potential grow and that culture grow in Los Angeles under Luke.
And yeah, you mentioned them sticking with Russell. And I did think that it was interesting that they gave a pretty strong denial to those trade rumors. Like it's one thing to say, like, you know, we always listen to offers for guys and you have to be open to things and stuff like that. But they gave a pretty strong denial that anything was going down. Like Mitch Kupchak imitated. I'm sure you saw D'Angelo Russell's new commercial earlier this week where he gave Ben Simmons some advice about throwing away his phone. And I think Mitch Kupchak saw that phone ringing off the hook with apparently Sacramento Kings trade offers for D'Angelo Russell. And he just threw that thing right in the lake. And they expressed a lot of confidence in Russell. And I think that that's interesting. You talk about them kind of growing naturally together. You're excited to see that. And you don't see them going after marquee free agents and trying to win immediately. And so that kind of leads us into free agency, which, you know, Kevin Durant, he's made his list of teams that he wants to talk to. Right now, it doesn't sound like the Lakers are on it. That's not exactly shocking considering where they are as a team right now. And so, you know, if you aren't getting Kevin Durant, now, like, maybe they'll get a meeting for him, but, like, I'd say they have probably a 1% chance of getting Kevin Durant at this point. That seems incredibly unlikely this summer. And so if you aren't getting him, then you're kind of moving to names like Al Horford, who I don't foresee him joining a rebuilding effort right now at age, I believe he's like 30 or so. He's 30 or 31, I think. And then there's Hassan Whiteside, who it leaked yesterday that the Lakers are planning on, quote, aggressively pursuing him, unquote, in free agency. And then Whiteside was talking about today he's looking forward to being recruited. And so I guess I'm kind of curious on what your thoughts are on the Lakers. Should they swing for the fence? Should they go all out? Should they try and get Whiteside right now? Should they try and bring in guys that are going to be max contract players, or should they be trying to bring in like supplementary guys to fit around Russell and Randall and Clarkson and Nance Jr. and Ingram? And, you know, I'm naming off all these guys who need touches to develop.
Yeah.
Should they really be bringing in supplementary guys to kind of, you know, play some defense, move the ball, get these guys, like space the floor for these guys? So I guess I'm curious on what your thoughts are on those kind of two divergent rebuilding paths.
I think there's a lot of players that can be really nice supplemental pieces to what we're doing here. Whiteside makes perfect sense for me. I talked to a lot of Heat fans. They got mad at me because he made a tweet last year when D'Angelo got, you know, drafted. So I retweeted it with a pair of eyeballs, you know, and everybody's like, oh, he's not leaving the Heat.
I've been using that thing in all my Whiteside articles this week.
It's great.
You got to throw it out there.
Yep. The two that I would try to go after is Conley and Whiteside. Those two would be interesting. But I think there's a lot of players out there that you know, the Courtney Lees, the Marvin Williams, obviously you got to kind of still deal with Clarkson, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they go in terms of free agency. Whiteside makes a lot of sense. Al Horford, to your point, kind of doesn't.
Yeah, like, you know, his skill set makes sense, but from like all the off the court, like there's just almost no way he wants to sign up for that. Like, if you could just clone Al Horford and he didn't have any needs or desires for himself, yeah, sure, he's a perfect fit for what the Lakers need. But, you know, he wants to win right now, probably at a high level.
Totally. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of nice pieces that can be supplemental pieces. Maybe not the biggest names on the board, but that's kind of what the beauty of what the Golden State Warriors did. And I know the Golden State Warriors have a model that's a one-off. I'm not suggesting that the Lakers are going to go down that route, but you have somebody that was there during that process of development and coming together and building up that team, which was Luke. And that's kind of interesting to me. From that perspective, that you can build up a team, guys, right? Like when Andre got traded over there, a bunch of people were criticizing Iguodala. He's not the same player since he was with Philly. And I'm sitting here going, if you ever watched his matchups back in the East when he was guarding like the Paul Pierces, the LeBron James of the world, that brought him a lot of success on those teams. And that was something that's kind of overlooked. People are just looking at points per game a lot of the time as, oh, this is a great player, this is not a great player.
They go to NBA.com, they look at the points per game leaders, and those are the 20 best players in the league.
Totally, and that's the thing. Like, scoring is important, but it's the intangibles that win you titles, right? Like, I always talk about, you know, Kobe and Shaq were the guys back in the three-peat era, but God bless Derek Fisher, and especially God bless Robert Horry for hitting the shots that they did to put Shaq and Kobe in a position to succeed and win those series for them, right? It's always the intangibles. You can go back to Ray Allen's shot when LeBron was with the Heat, right? You could go to Robert Horry when the Spurs won back in, I think it was 2003, when they knocked the Lakers off. There's so many, 2004 rather. There's so many times that, you know, the intangibles matter, and you got to kind of sign guys that make sense for what you're doing. To your point, Kevin Durant isn't that guy for the Lakers right now. He's in the prime of his career. He's obviously, you talk about, they were up 3-1 and weren't able to finish that off. And OKC just made an unbelievable trade to bring in Oladipo and those guys over there. So if Kevin Durant stays with Oklahoma, you could make a strong case for Oklahoma being the best team in the West right now. It'll be interesting to see what KD does. I think it'll cause a chain effect, I think, on free agency for sure. But, you know, I'm not banking on a big free agent. I'm very excited. Like, if we just went into the season right now with the pieces that we just have through the draft and, you know, watching that core of like D'Angelo, Clarkson, Randall and Ingram kind of grow together, I'd be happy with that, you know. But it'll be interesting to see who they do chase, because I think Whiteside, DeRozan, it sounds like, is going to go back to Toronto. I know that's been a huge name out there that people want. I don't think he's worth the max, personally. People have asked me this. I don't think he's worth the max, but again, you know, he's a player that could be intriguing to try to bring in here. Whiteside, I personally love, and you know, he's very interested and getting his 2K rating up, as he once said last year on ABC. So,
Whiteside has a lot of great quotes, but that's one of the best ones.
Let's talk, Whiteside. If you sign that purple and gold, you know, I might go over and nudge our roster guy a little bit and just kind of put you in the nice bright spotlight of Los Angeles, and we can work on that rating together. But no, in all seriousness, I think it's going to be really fun to see where he ends up, because I think he's a phenomenal center in the league that is just a defensive monster right now. And, you know, I'd love to have somebody like that. It's not like Roy Hibbert really stepped up last year and proved that he could still be that player.
He didn't stand up last year.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of free agents out there. It'll be interesting to see where they go. So, you know, it should be interesting, but I know that Whiteside makes a lot of sense to me. I wouldn't book on a huge name coming to Los Angeles, and that's okay where we're at right now. You know, I'm totally content with that, because I just wanted Brandon Ingram. To be completely honest, I just wanted Ingram, and it was almost stressful because I wanted him over Ben Simmons even. And again, all due respect to Ben Simmons. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I think he's going to have the syndrome that kind of Blake Griffin first had. Like, Blake Griffin didn't really have a shot coming into the league, and then he developed one, and now Blake's just a monster. I think it's going to be the same kind of thing. It's going to take some time. And same two wingspan, can really play all five positions on the floor, and you know, is hungry to learn and work at the craft as some of the greats before him. I think that's going to go a long way for the Lakers. I think they got, in him and Russell, I think they got two really special players that we can start building towards the future now. And there's no, again, there's no Kobe out there running with them. So, that, you know, now these guys are going to be able to have the ball in their hands and be able to do the things they want to do without having to defer. And yes, I don't care what opinion comes out on it. When Kobe's on the floor and he's calling for the ball in this last season, you give the man the ball, right? Like, there's a little bit of
if you're 19 order. Years old, you aren't telling 37-year-old Kobe Bryant with his five rings, like, no, you know what? I'm gonna look off you right now because you're gonna get lit up in the next timeout. And there's a lot there. But first of all, we have our first Lakers Lounge breaking news, and Chris Manning is going to recruit Hassan Whiteside to the Lakers by bumping his 2K rating up. You heard it here first.
I will try to do that.
we got to get the Lakers to get you in on the recruiting meeting. Just bring in some 2K reps or something. And there just let them know. You know, you're going to be a 99 next year in purple and gold. But no, in all seriousness, you mentioned the role players that the Lakers are going to need to win. And I 100% agree with you. I think that they're going to need to bring in supplementary guys like that this summer, whether or not they sign Whiteside, who I think is an amazing fit for the current roster. I agree with you. And, you know, I think the Lakers might already have one of those role players on their roster in Larry Nance Jr. I really like what he brings to the table. He seems like kind of a hardworking, intangibles guy that you bring in off the bench to guard the other team's best front court player for a couple possessions. I think that, you know, his mid-range game started out pretty promising last year and then dropped off a little bit. So if he can get some consistency with that, that'll allow him to space the floor a little bit more. He was talking to the Kamenetsky brothers a couple weeks ago. I guess they have him working on his three-point shot. So I think Nance Jr. is going to be one of those guys going forward. But one of the names that you mentioned as a free agent target that I thought was interesting and hasn't been discussed a lot is Conley. So how would you, you know, because most people are just, we were just talking about it. You know, we want to let the young Lakers run free, give D'Angelo the ball, let him run the show. And so if you bring in Conley, you don't think that that's runs a little bit counter to that? Or do you see Russell as more of a two going forward? Or I'm kind of curious on your thought process.
I mean, that's, you know, I think if you're the Lakers, you're wanting D'Angelo to have the ball in his hands. That's first priority. If you can sign a player like Conley, yeah, maybe you consider D'Angelo at the two a little bit. It's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of guys, you know, I believe Biombo is a free agent as well, right? And he's going to get paid for sure. So there's another young guy. What is he, 23 or 24, if I recall correctly? So, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think I like the guys that can come in that could shoot the ball. I want to see a very loose offense in terms of like the running and gunning. And, you know, the Lakers have speed, they have length. Right now they have that. And so last year when they slowed it down, that's where it all broke down. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of offense Luke instills. But Conley's an interesting one to me. You know, there's so many different directions they can go. It's really just going to be the important.
There's so many free agents. It's going to be it's not like a mind blowing class at the top, but because of how short contracts have gotten, like half the league is a free agent this offseason. Yeah. It's like somebody that loves to sit there on 2K and reorganize their dream rosters like dream, because it just, everyone's a free agent. You can Photoshop anyone you want into a Lakers jersey and hashtag it future Laker and throw it out there, because they're either a free agent this season or next offseason pretty much.
Totally. And if I was the Lakers, I would be going after a big. I think the five guys that come to my mind, number one, just because of the age and kind of how he plays, is Whiteside. Al Horford, a little bit older. I don't think they're going to land him, but I would definitely go after him. Noah will probably end up where Derrick Rose goes. I have to assume he's going to consider the Knicks, especially with the moves that they're making. And then there's Biombo. So, you know, those four guys are some of the guys that I'd like to see. There's a lot of wing players out there. Obviously, I don't think KD or DeMar is going to happen, but Batum, Parsons, Bazemore, bringing, you know, somebody like Kent Bazemore back after what he did in Atlanta was really nice. There's a lot of like quality bench players that are out there right now. You know, Turner, Dudley, Lee, Dang, you know, heck, even Matt Barnes, I believe, is a free agent this year. I'd have to go and check. I don't have the list in front of me, but
as long as Luke doesn't add Derek Fisher to the coaching staff,
right, we'll be all right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, there's lots of options, which is interesting. And, you know, this is the year before the big CBA change. So with the way that the contracts are going to look in the future, you know, there's going to be a lot more money to be thrown around next season. So if I'm the Lakers and as a fan, I want to see them commit to younger guys that can grow together. I don't want to see the 1 year kind of like contractual signings that are one and done, or just kind of like an assassin for that year and then he's out, right?
Let's keep our cap space for next summer shenanigans. You want to lock some guys in?
Yeah, let's lock some guys in or get some of that young talent that can play together. You know, there's interesting routes they can go. They have, you know, Nick Young. What are they going to do with him? Are they going to stay all in? Because there's clearly some issues with him and D'Angelo that he airs out publicly. But he's also a talent, and, you know, he hasn't really had a coach that can sit him down and try to hone him in, right? So how is Luke going to deal with that? How's the organization going to deal with that?
The interesting thing with him, for me at least, is sorry to cut you off, but just – The interesting thing for him with me is, like, if it wasn't for the off-court stuff, you'd think that he could be a somewhat interesting fit for Luke and play in a similar way that he got to for D'Antoni a couple years ago, where he was moving a lot more off the ball. They were really utilizing his three-point shooting, which is an asset when it's not off the dribble. But I just think he's gone. I don't see any way he's back. I think if they could have traded him already, they would have. And since they haven't, I have to believe that they're waiting until after free agency shakes out and for some team to kind of either talk themselves into taking Nick Young on for like a second round pick, or they're just going to stretch him outright and kind of like take his contract hit over a couple more years, but at a smaller number. I believe if they waive him, if they stretch him this offseason, it's like $2.4 million on their cap just as dead money for the next 3 or 4 years. And so it's not that, especially with the cap rising, it's not even that cost prohibitive to just stretch him. So I have to believe that's what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, just think about some other guys that are out there. Again, going back to Biombo, Raptors seem like they're going to be very focused on getting DeMar DeRozan back. So it might be a good time to try to swoop in and see if there's something to be there for a lot of teams. Batum is a really interesting piece for me, because I think, you know, for the right amount of money right now, he could probably be obtainable. And it kind of seems like a system where he'd like to be in too. But, you know, he's going to be a plan B for, I think, a lot of contenders, you know.
I read somewhere that his plan was to re-sign in Charlotte quickly so that he could play in the Olympics. So I don't know how gettable he is. But he is like, I'm not one of the people that, like, if they sign Batum, he's a legit talent. So if they brought him in and he starts over Ingram for the first couple months, or, you know, for the first year even, or they find a way to get Ingram in their shooting guard at times or whatever, like, I'm okay with that, because at least it's like a long-term guy starting over him. Yep. It's totally different than benching the young guys for someone that's not even going to be there next year, or someone that doesn't project to grow a lot as part of the core in a season with nothing to play for. That's different when you're signing a guy for a couple years and you're trying to actually get the team back to competitiveness than just playing some random veteran over them. Like the whole Ronnie Price and Jordan Clarkson situation a couple years ago, like that was pointless. But if you're playing Batum over Ingram, that's not as large of an issue, I don't think, to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of free agents out there. Kind of just looking down this list, you know, there's a lot of free agents. It's going to be interesting because, like I said, to your point, do you bring in veteran guys that maybe maybe a couple guys that have a couple years under their belts and start them over somebody like Ingram? I think whatever you need to do to keep Randall, Clarkson, D'Angelo, and Ingram on the floor at the same time starting together, I think you do when you make those moves. But there is going to be a lot of interesting free agents out there that can be nice accommodating pieces that maybe aren't, you know, vets or looking to win right now and stuff like that. I mean, everybody's looking to win, but there's definitely certain guys that are going to be, you know, in higher demand for some of those championship teams and adding to those pieces. It should be interesting to see what the Lakers do. I just want them to be all in on the future as opposed to trying to bring in somebody now to win. I don't think, to your point, somebody like KD makes not a lot of sense to the Lakers, just from both standpoints. You know, why would he want to go to a rebuilding team when he's in the prime of his career right now and he has amazing opportunity to re-sign with Oklahoma City? There might be something special brewing in New York. You know, if they end up with, like, say, like a KD and then a Noah or a Dwight Howard, that's a pretty formidable team down there or over there in New York all of a sudden, and that'll be a title contending team in a weaker conference in the East. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes and see how that plays out for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, definitely. And I to your point about the Lakers needing a big and needing to lock someone in there, I pulled up their roster just to, like, confirm right now. And as of right now, all they have at center going forward is Tarik Black. They can make a $1.2 million qualifying offer to make him a restricted free agent. But other than that, they don't have a center on the roster right now. So other than Ivica, depending on how confident you are in Ivica Zubac. So I think as much as I'm encouraged by the little that I've watched of him so far and in some footage on YouTube and stuff, I'm not quite confident that Zubac is ready to be the starter for the Lakers next year. I don't know how you feel about that. So they got to get some type of big in free agency. That's for sure.
The big is where they should focus on. I really believe that. And there's a couple options out there right now. So it'll be interesting to see, again, what they kind of go after. You know, I'd be looking at people like Mo Spates, Brandon Bass, Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, I think Hassan makes a lot of sense if they can throw the money at him. And
I think he's on my number one, too.
I would go after him. It just makes a lot of sense for both sides. You don't want to bring somebody in that's going to be gone in a year or two, or, you know, there's going to be guys looking for one-year deals potentially, just with the way that the salary cap's constructed. So, and those are probably going to be more of the bigger free agent names. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they decide on. As a fan, I want them to go big. I want them to go after, you know, a Hassan Whiteside type of player, a guy that's young and is focused on, you know, making a name for himself. I think what Whiteside's been able to do over in Miami has been phenomenal. It's been really fun to watch. And, you know, I'd love to see somebody like that on our team.
It's crazy to see how he went from he was drafted. I think he was either a late first round, early second round pick, didn't work out in Sacramento, went overseas, played there. Yep. Played in the D League. The Lakers worked him out. A bunch of teams worked him out. Finally, the Heat, I think he was on either his first or second 10-day contract, and he just got into a game because they had some injuries, and he played really well. And it's been all uphill from there. And those are always kind of fun stories. And even though there are kind of those reports that maybe he's not always the best locker room presence or not always the easiest guy to deal with, I can't speak to that personally. That's the thing. It's like none of us really know. We only know what we're told and what's leaked. And when people leak things, there's an agenda there. So you always kind of have to be careful about that and how much of it you believe. But, I think that is a legitimate concern. But I think with the culture that the Lakers are building, you would hope that they could handle something like that. Because that's the main concern that I've heard expressed with Whiteside from the people who don't like that move for the Lakers and think that they should go after someone else is – what happens when you make him the highest paid player on a young team when he's never had money before?
Yeah, it's a fair, valid point, but I think at the same time, that's what these guys are playing for, right? Is the success and, you know, to put themselves in positions to either win or join something that's growing. And, you know, with that logic, he should stay in Miami, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to have some of the cap room to throw him the pretty big contract that I have to check. And that by no means
how it works is since they don't have his full bird rights. So they can sign him to the max, but it has to be into cap space. And Wade is also a free agent. So one of those two guys or both is going to have to take less money if they want to stay together. Everybody talks about the Heat are going to get into this Kevin Durant pursuit, but I just don't see how. They'd have to let Whiteside go, or they'd have to let Wade go, basically, to even make that work. And then all of a sudden, why does Kevin Durant want to sign there then?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, so it's going to be interesting for sure. I definitely am glad I don't have to make those decisions. But yeah, I mean, it just goes back to kind of what we want to see. You know, another guy that isn't really talked about, I believe, is a free agent, is Austin Rivers. He was very impressive, probably a guy that's looking to stay in LA. Who knows if he's going to re-sign with the Clippers. But, you know, somebody like him, it might be a good situation to stay where his dad's coaching and, you know, could be a nice little bench player there.
Lakers firing shots at the crosstown Clippers, signing their coach's son, stealing him away in free agency.
You never know, right? Like, there's just certain situations that make sense for guys. That might be one of them. And the nice thing is, you know, to your point, like, we have the cap space. We don't have to necessarily run off and try to get that big free agent name this year. I think next year is when you kind of go for that, because players want to see what kind of situation they're going in. You know, when Kobe was at the twilight of his career with the contract that Jim Buss, and I say Jim Buss because I don't believe Jerry Buss would have made that contract happen. Remember when Shaq called Jerry Buss's bluff back in the day, Shaq got traded, right? So, you know, it's a different kind of management system and style. And, you know, since Jerry Buss, you know, unfortunately passed away all those years ago, there hasn't been a lot of faith, I think, from fans and players to come play for the organization. So it's kind of now their time in terms of management to prove that they can put together a squad that's going to be compelling to come play for, and exciting, you know, that's competitive. I think fans have been waiting a long time for it, and I don't think it's going to happen overnight this year, but next year, I think, is the year where you go heavy after that really big mega star. But you're going to have to look with the DNA of the team looks like this year, right?
Yeah, I agree, because I think that you sign a big this year, you sign someone to play at that center spot because they need that. But then you kind of, other than that, you let the young guys develop, you let them show what they can do under Luke Walton, you let them show that things are going in a positive direction. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the league and the play, more importantly, the players are seeing kind of what we are, you know, our rose-tinted projections for the future are all of a sudden starting to become a viewpoint that's shared by a lot more than people who watch the Lakers and follow the Lakers on a day-to-day basis are starting to believe that the Lakers' future is looking pretty bright with the guys that they have, if they get to show that off this year. And so I'm kind of with you. I think next year is the bigger time to try and really build a team that's going to compete going forward and maybe take those bigger swings in free agency. You go after Russell Westbrook, who's from LA. You go after, there are several big names I'm blanking off the top of my head, but the next year's free agency class is potentially a lot bigger and deeper than this year's was.
Yep. And if it was up to me this off season, I'd kind of wrap all this up, because we can speculate all day. Yeah. If it was up to me, my targets would be Whiteside, Batum, and then maybe like a guy that you can get on the cheap, maybe like an Azili type guy, right? That's who I'd be focused on. And obviously Azili has ties to Luke, so maybe there's something there. That's what I would focus on.
Earlier this summer was on a Snapchat. Yep. He called Festus Azili and Harrison Barnes future Lakers. So, maybe Mo Spates is the new Adrian Wojnarowski. He's reporting stuff during the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I think Barnes is going to definitely go to, you know, a team that's championship ready, or right about maybe a couple of years ahead. Like, the one team that's like the best spot I thought for a coach to come into this season was what Thibodeau walked into, like Minnesota. The Wolves are like ready now. Cat is an unbelievable talent. Now you get a guy like Dunn, who, and again, keep an eye out for him. This dude, everybody's making the comparisons to like a John Wall. I think he plays more like a Dwayne Wade personally. Like, if you watch the way that he moves and the way that he's able to isolate and score, it's very Wade-esque, and he's going to be a fun player. I was shocked when and happy that Boston didn't draft him because I thought Boston made some really terrible decisions. And as a Lakers fan, I was quite happy about that throughout the draft. That was very funny. But, you know, maybe not, right? We all laughed at Porzingis, and then Porzingis ends up being like this phenomenon. So we'll see. But I have to feel, you know, Dunn's going to help Minnesota, and Minnesota could be an attractive destination for some of those young guys, like the Barnes type of guys, right? Like the Biombos. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who goes to Minnesota in the free agency, because that team is about to be a dominant team for years to come. And it may take a year or two for them to reach that, but I think they're going to be in the playoffs next year. I think they're that good.
That's shaping up to be like, if you're projecting a couple of years down the line who the Lakers are going to be battling against, if they grow like we kind of hope and expect, it's going to be Minnesota is going to be kind of one of those chief roadblocks right there. And so, you know, we've spent the last, like you said, we could speculate about free agency and trades and draft and all that stuff all day. Totally. But we spent the last 45 minutes doing it, but we're talking about building a team. And you know, that is something that I think is transferable to a lot of different areas of life. And, you know, team building is a skill, no matter if you're in a business or if you're kind of running an NBA team. And one of the things that the last time I saw you, it was at the 2K16 Road to the Finals event, where you guys revealed officially that Paul George is going to be on the regular editions cover next year. And, you know, I went there and I covered that event, and I was excited to see the cover reveal. And I was also curious to see what it's like to watch two teams of five guys go 5-on-5 in 2K. Because I know me and my friends playing, that would be a disaster because we all play like Jamal Crawford. We're just shooting every single time. And, you know, watching these guys, we would have lost by 80 or 100 or something, the way that they coordinate. And I just thought it was fascinating to watch the people that almost treat that like that's their NBA team. They treat it like that's their job, and there was a lot of money on the line.
Absolutely. I mean, for those that don't know, we have dived into esports officially, and NBA 2K is pretty focused on moving forward into the esports realm. So we had people create their My Players, and what you can do is you can take your My Players, basically yourself. You can face scan yourself, name yourself, make yourself play like any position that you want to create, and you can work on improving yourself just like NBA players work on improving themselves. So you can take yourself and four friends and go play what's called 2K Pro-Am. And in Pro-Am, it's basically NBA rules, but you're playing against other My Players. So we held this tournament, the tournament decided the winner of the PS4 side and the Xbox One side. And they came to LA for $250,000. That was on the line, and a trip to the NBA Finals. So not a bad night, you know, winning $250K and then getting on a plane that night to go watch game one of the NBA Finals, which turned out to be fantastic. So, you know, it was really, to your point, the most interesting thing to me, because I had broadcasted the webcast, which was live. And I, as you guys know, I'm a basketball nutcase. I love everything basketball, whether it was, you know, just being around the game in so many various ways. But the thing that was so cool to me is looking over and seeing Paul George and Kobe Bryant rooting on these five guys that are playing as, you know, they're playing as their avatars, playing as themselves and competing for $250K. Like, there's NBA players that now are fans of what these guys are doing when we as fans are always looking up to what they do on the court, right?
So it seemed like they had like a genuine respect for the craft, which was pretty cool to see them kind of acknowledge.
Absolutely, because so many of these guys play. Like Paul George is on the cover this year. He's one of the best players at our game. Like I've watched him personally beat Ronnie by like 30, 40 points, like three games in a row. And that, trust me, that's the best when you could see that. But it's cool to see that we unveiled our Team 2K, which are a group of guys that are also extremely into and very good at our game, right? So that has people like Kyrie Irving and Draymond Green, Andre Drummond, Karl Anthony Towns, right? All these guys are very into our game. And so we kind of label it Team 2K, and it's been really fun to work with those guys behind the scenes and then for some stuff that we'll be unveiling down the line. And they look up to this esports thing because all of a sudden it's like these guys are fans of the game. Like I always love when an NBA player comes in and it's like you're playing the game with them, you're chatting basketball, and it's it's about them being excited about stuff that we're doing, you know? And it's like, no, but like you did this last year, you accomplished this. No, but this is really cool that I get to go on the park and play as a mind play, you know? So it's a fun back and forth, I think, of around the culture that we're trying to create. And we'll have some, I called it phase one, which was Road to the Finals, which was a tournament based structure. What's to come, I think, is going to be very, very exciting for a lot of people. And I don't think they're going to see it coming in a very good way. And, you know, I just can't wait to talk about the future of this thing. But it's really, really cool to see NBA players equally, if not more excited than we are for what we're doing. And it really helps drive that passion, you know, that we're what we're trying to build.
Yeah, definitely. It was just, like I said, it was just cool to see kind of Kobe in there. Paul George especially seemed to be really interested, like you said, in what was going on. I know, like there were other players there. I know Ryan Hollins was there. I got a chance to talk to Anthony Brown for a couple minutes. He's a big fan of the game. Yeah. And it was just like it was cool to see these NBA guys out there. And, you know, they like you said, they're fans of the game just like we are. And they're fans of just basketball as a whole. And so whether it's real basketball or whether it's virtual basketball, you know, I think that they can appreciate it. And they seem to kind of genuinely enjoy seeing that those guys put as much work into their virtual players as they and like as much like almost as much dedication into their virtual players as they put into building themselves into superstars and like the best players in the world.
Totally. And that's what it's about, right? Like you reward those players that are really great at their craft. And I think NBA 2K is no different with the my players and, you know, people putting in lots of time. Like I know that you can spend, if you're into management, you could just go hop into my league or my GM and you could just literally spend all year playing that. There's, you know, a mode called my team with where you pull cards and you get to use the players of the cards that you pull. People spend all year long in that. People may just play head to head or, you know, team up where it's 5v5 based, kind of like, you know, Pro-Am is. There's just so much to do in the game. And sometimes just I take a step back because I've been playing since, you know, we've talked about it. I've been playing since NBA 2K on the Dreamcast when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old. And then, you know, I have this opportunity to work here now. But the one thing that I just love about it is everybody there is so insanely obsessed with basketball. It's like the perfect spot for me, right? Because all of a sudden I feel at home. You know, I don't feel like that. You know, I was listening to the story about Ingram skipping his senior prom, right? This is not a lie. I don't think I've ever told the story. So my senior prom, my aunt and uncle at my high school were counselors there. So I kind of knew a little bit of the staff when I was in high school. Our principal, who I'm not going to name for this story, our principal at the time, he was a really cool, like I had a good relationship with him. And our senior year was the night that game six of the 2004, I believe it was the semifinals, the Lakers Spurs. So game five, of course, was the historic .4 Derek Fisher shot. So game six is on. And the way that I operated back then was I watched all Laker games. I never drank. I don't drink. I was never partying. I was never doing that. I was watching sports. I was watching the Lakers. So I didn't want to go to my prom. My prom was on that night. Literally, the game was like an hour into our prom. So when you're in high school and, you know, you have friends and you guys probably can relate to this, like you kind of have to listen to your girlfriend at the time or you're in big trouble, right? So yeah. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go do this prom thing for you, even though you're gonna make me miss like one of the games. And literally the rule was, you know, no phones, no, you can't check on stuff. So I'm like, whatever, I'm gonna figure out a way to go watch the game. So prom starts, we're about an hour in, and our principal comes up to me and he goes, hey, I think I know how to get us into the bar area that's locked off. We could go watch the game, but you got to keep it hush hush. And I said, and he goes, if anybody catches us, you're in trouble. You're taking fall. I would go, fine, deal. So we go in, we borrow, I'm going to use borrow as the word here. We find and borrow the keys from the janitor's closet that we may or may not have broken into. We go into the bar area, we unlock, close the door, close all the blinds that were on there. And we start watching the game. Well, somebody kind of heard under the door. They heard the action, so they kind of knocked and were kind of trying to shoo people off. And all of a sudden, like, my buddies find out, like, it gets around, like, oh, Chris is in there watching the Laker game with the principal. Like, we got to get out of here. like, let's go watch the game. So like it starts filling up, right? And the problem with it filling up is all the girlfriends and all the girls now start coming. They like that starts to spread, right? So for two and a half hours of prom night, you know, I told people like you either can go out there, or you can be in here. We were watching the game, and it was magnificent. It was the remember the Kobe dunk in that game? That was just like it was just such a thunderous dunk. And you know, the Lakers beat the Spurs that night, so it was just great. But I walked out and I had like 45 legitimate pissed off people at me for, you know, why would you take our boyfriends away from us? And I just looked at them. I'm like, listen, your boyfriends didn't want to be with you that night. They wanted to watch the Laker game like me. So I can relate to that, you know, that sense of like wanting to be around basketball and, you know, kind of that weird obsession with it. And that's the kind of stuff I like. I think that's what gravitated me so much towards Kobe and his work ethic and those kind of players that are really into the game like Brandon Ingram. So, you know, yeah, that was a really fun night, but, you know, I love the game of basketball and it's really cool to be around an environment when you're working around it, working with players and around NBA 2K and stuff. It's just a really great experience and something I'm extremely grateful for every single day.
So basically what you're saying is you're the Kobe of 2K community management.
I'm not going to go that far, but I definitely know that, you know, the way that I'm always around the game of basketball, it gets to points where, you know, I get home and it's like, all right, gotta shut it down now. You know what I mean? Like stop thinking, stop talking basketball. And sometimes it's really hard for me to disconnect, to be honest with you, because, I'm always thinking like my brain's always going a million miles per hour. I got a Laker video in my head that I want to do about Brandon Ingram, but I'm like trying to pull myself back from doing it, you know, going back old school to where we were in the good old days, like have a great concept in my head. And as much as I want to ignore that concept, it's literally all edited out in my head. And it's like, do I sit down and actually put this together and like have that vision get laid out? And now we have a new Brandon Ingram video, or do I just kind of let it go and like enjoy other people's work? Like that's the kind of like stuff that goes through my head personally all the time. And you know, I love it, but at the same time it's like I wish I could like just kind of close it off sometimes, but I'm so excited about everything related to basketball, even beyond the Lakers, you know. So it's a lot of fun.
I think anybody that kind of works in these creative type mediums can kind of relate to that, because I know for myself personally, I've been driving home from games and had stories written in my head that I just needed to type out once I pulled into the driveway. And so like, I think we can all kind of relate to that when you're trying to, and I think almost anyone on a human level, everyone creates things. And I think everyone can kind of relate to that. But, and if you do decide to make a Brandon Ingram video, I think that everyone listening to that's listened to us talk about all this stuff for an hour now is definitely interested. So please do that and please share it. But really quickly, before we wrap this thing up, I did want to ask you, to one more time for our Lakers fans, plug the Kobe Bryant edition of 2K17, because I think that's something that people who are listening to this podcast are going to be interested in before we go here.
Yes, absolutely. So for NBA 2K17, we announced on the day of his final game when he dropped 60, I was in the building. You check out the last podcast I was on. I talked about it exclusively here. That was fun. That was fun to talk about that because I had so many emotions.
I think talk is like a stretch. We were kind of glowing about it.
Oh, man. It's still one of the best moments of my life. But anyway, the NBA 2K17 Legend Edition features Kobe Bryant on the cover. And you get a bunch of pre-order incentives. And then we recently, with the Road to the Finals, we announced the Kobe Bryant Legend Gold Edition. And that includes everything in the Legend Edition, plus like you get all of his shoes that he ever wore, the entire Nike Kobe line you get when you pre-order this thing. So you're going to be able to equip them on your My Player and like have a lot of options. It's like there's so much stuff in there. Panini cards, you get, you know, a poster. You get a lenticular cover that's like really, really cool with the Gold Edition. So you know, we found that it was the right time to honor such an amazing player and such a legend of the game and somebody who was on, you know, our NBA 2K10 cover. So to bring Kobe back in a Legend Edition form was something really special, I think, for 2K and the fans. And for me personally, it was like as soon as I knew we were greenlighting this thing, I was just beaming. You know, it was like I can't wait for that day that we get to announce this because I was so personally excited. And then to do it on a day where he comes out, he has his last game, he drops 60 points. Just what an unbelievable day for our brand, and then obviously for Kobe, the legend Mamba himself, right? Because I don't think anybody's going to go out with 60. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think anybody will ever have 60 points in their last game ever again in NBA history.
Yeah, that's just such a rare set of circumstances for that to kind of happen. But who knows? Maybe in 10 years when, you know, you've successfully recruited Hassan Whiteside to the Lakers, that'll right. be part of the whole package. Like, he'll get that. We'll get the Hassan Whiteside Lakers Legend Edition of 2K27.
Yeah, that'd be a stretch, right? But there's definitely guys that are, you know, that are making history, and it's a fun time for the league. I probably argue that this past season was one of the best seasons in NBA history. When you just talk about all the storylines and what the Warriors were able to do with 73-9, obviously the playoffs and what Cleveland did. I am beyond happy for what LeBron was able to do and bring Cleveland a championship. Like, that was such an amazing story. And I think, like, unless you were up here and, you know, I walked into work that Monday after game 7 with a LeBron jersey on, just because I'd been taking 5 years of crap for being a Lakers fan up here. So I was like, all right, let's see how thick skinned some of these Warriors fans are around here. And let me tell you, it was not a pretty sight when I was going out just to eat lunch and people were kind of giving me dirty looks. I thought
throwing
really
your lunch at you.
Oh, totally. Ronnie was all upset. I had coworkers. I was like, why are you wearing that? And I'm like, what? I can't celebrate greatness. Like, you know, LeBron's sitting at Kobe and Michael's lunch table. Like, I'm going to celebrate a guy that just pulled off something amazing, you know, and then the next day it's back to purple and gold. So, you know, it was a fun time, but, you know, hey, listen, you gotta be thick skinned as a Laker fan, believe me, especially around, what the Warriors were able to do. But, just the NBA season as a whole, this past season was really amazing between, you know, all the storylines that happened. And then going forward, it's going to be really fun to see with a lot of these young guys and, you know, seeing what's kind of unfolding, and free agency is going to be fun. And yeah, here we are, right? Talking about the future of the Lakers, but we got my boy Brandon Ingram. So I am 100% excited about this season as a Laker fan.
It's a great time for the Lakers. It's a great time for the league. And it's always a great time chatting with you about it, because I always feel like I'm kind of floating off of these podcasts just with your I just take in your positivity. And it just makes the rest of my day. So I appreciate you stopping by, Chris. Is there anything else you want to add before we head off here?
Go Lakers.
All right. We'll end on that note. That for everyone that listened, thank you. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Please give us a review. We always love to get your feedback. Send us questions on Twitter. Send us people you want us to bring on Twitter. And again, we just, you know, you guys are why we do this. So we appreciate it. And Chris, I appreciate, again, you coming on. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. This has been the Lakers Lounge.